you so much, Elise. We have much to look forward to. For soon Jesus will come. Happy Sabbath. It is great to see you all on this Sabbath day. It's a very special Sabbath in which we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And with that in mind, I thought we'd talk about some wheat. As we get into the Word of God, let us pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you because you are faithful. You finish what you start. And we recognize this morning that like Isaiah, we are undone. So send us your Spirit and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting. It still is spring, right? Because with spring, there's a whole bunch of wet stuff, and we had a wet spring, at least maybe April-ish, because the weather was kind of warm enough to do work outside, but it was too wet to work outside. But then all of a sudden, the sun came out, and lo and behold, everything changed. Not just did everything change, but we were down in Sydney, Australia, and during those 2 weeks, as we flew in, it seemed like these showed up. And it was horrible. They were everywhere, in great abundance, if you ask me. And we had those. We even had some cute ones like these. Or maybe some just gnarly-looking ones like those, where if you're not using gloves, you could hurt yourself. And this was quite a bit of a problem because I'd look around my neighborhood and I'd see scenes like this. Or maybe scenes like that, that's so meticulous. Or maybe even just, it's not that fancy, but it's just nicely done. And here our yard is looking like a mess. Granted, those weren't pictures from my neighbor's yards. But what I will say is they look nice. Which led me to the conclusion that it was time for Operation KTW. What is Operation KTW? Kill the weeds. You know that operation well. And to kill those weeds required some things, such as maybe a weed whacker. Or maybe some Roundup. Or maybe hide the weeds. Or we could just ignore the weeds. Option number one, you use a weed whacker, and it kind of trims things down, but it's still going to grow. Option number two, it kills the weed, but what it does not do, it does not eliminate the weed. So you still have something there that doesn't look nice. Option number three, you hide the weeds, and they will be back soon. And option number four, well, that's not really much of a solution at all. But there is only one real solution. You know it well. It involves, you got to get to the root. And to be able to get to the root, you can't get to the root standing up. I mean, your arms aren't long enough. I wish mine were. But you have to get on your knees to pull up the weeds. Amen? And as I was on my knees, I was having some serious talks with the Lord. Maybe you've been there too. And Lord, where did all these weeds come from? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 28. Matthew 13, verse 28, the Bible says, and he said unto them, an enemy has done this. Where did the weeds come from? Oh, an enemy has done this. And I couldn't have agreed with Jesus more as I was on my knees trying to pull up them weeds. An enemy has done this garbage. Because my yard was loaded with them. And so I came to realize that there was more work to be done in my life than in my yard. Even though my yard was filled with weeds, I thought my neighbor's yards looked good. And I'll tell you who looks good. The one who looks good is Jesus. I looked at my neighbor's yard and made me look bad because theirs looked good. But guess what? The Bible is clear about who is good. Is there anyone that is good? No, the Bible says, no, not anyone is good. I'm not good, you're not good, we're not good, which puts us in quite a predicament. How do we get rid of the weeds? We get on our knees, but that's not all we got to do to get rid of the weeds. We got to humble ourselves. Maybe we think it's somebody else's job to pull the weeds. No, I gotta get down low and trim the weeds. Because what happens when I see the weeds in my life and I don't pull the weeds? Well, I could get some spiritual back pain. How so? I think that it's okay to be in this condition. Praise God that what he started in your life, he's going to finish it if we want him to. If we don't want him to, he will say, okay, I understand. I respect your choice. No problem. What happens when I have spiritual back pain? I don't want to bend. I don't want to pray. I don't want to talk to God, and I want my own way. I remember after the first 10 minutes of weeding, I was done. And I realized I needed to not only continue on that day, but I needed to come back again because I had just started to pull some weeds. For those of you who had done some weeding this spring, how many days or hours did it take you? Was it just done once? Well, depending on your yard, it may have been done once. But if you have a good-sized yard, it wasn't just once. If my yard was reflected of the sins in my life, then that could be quite depressing. And you see, sometimes I have to get violent. How so? I have to use reinforcements. Seriously. I get into the yard and I get violent with the weeds because they must die. They must come out because unless I use some reinforcements, they won't come out, right? What about us? Do we use something more like this? Or do we use something more like this? Because the Bible says, Psalms 119, verse 11, the following. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, it's the word of God that I need to dig in and use more and more because what needs, the place that needs the most work is my heart. Your what have I put in my heart? Your word have I put in my heart? Or else I might end up using this one. Maybe a verse here and there once in a while when it's convenient for me. But no, I need his word in my heart because my heart has issues. Because I'm never going to get this weeding done in my life all by myself. The Bible says, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and most of the time good. Is that what it said? And desperately wicked. The heart is a liar, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I know there's someone who can know my heart. There's someone who can know your heart. There's some good news today, friends. And it goes, we sang it earlier. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose what? All their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Where's the power? That didn't sound like power. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Our problem is not with the blood. Our problem is that we think that we can weed whack our sins. We can trim around our sins and keep our sins. Our problem is that we try to put some solution on it from the outside, like Roundup. Our problem is we try to hide our sins. And our problem could be that we try to ignore our sins. Would you be free from your burden? I'd like to be free. How about you? Turn with me to these words in 1 John 1:9. You know them well. If we confess our sins, he's what? Oh, he's faithful. And he's not just faithful, he's just. To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I praise God because there's less weeds in our yard today. But I gotta go back to the place where there's an actual solution to my sins. I gotta go to the place and to the one who can deal with my sins, and that's Jesus. He doesn't just want to forgive us of our sins. He wants to pull them up by the roots so that there's no more sin there. Isn't that what "and cleanse us from all unrighteousness" means? David said it right. Create in me a clean heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You see, you don't trim weeds, you pull them up. It's time for our weeds to be pulled up. It's time for our sins to be pulled up. And Jesus can pull them up. Jesus will pull them up if we ask him to. Are we going to try to trim our sins today? Or will we come to the only one who can deal with them? We have come here by faith in Jesus' name. We're about to partake of some emblems that remind us of what Christ has done at Calvary, so that we might be reunited with the Father. They are symbols for the real thing we remember. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. As his body was broken, therefore we have the unleavened bread. As his blood was shed, therefore we have the unfermented wine, the pure fruit of the Jews, for Jesus was pure. And we get to bring to Jesus, I wish I could bring to Jesus something good. But the truth is, I can only give to him my sinful, polluted heart. And today, he invites us to come unto him. Today, he says, come. And so as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we practice open communion. What does that mean? It means that if you are a believer in Christ and have accepted Christ and would like to accept his sacrifice on your behalf yet again, even though you're not a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, you are welcome to participate. If maybe it has been a time in which maybe you weren't prepared to participate, I invite you to stay by and take advantage of these moments in prayer and in scripture so that the next time we have communion service, we are more ready for that occasion. In just a few moments, we will leave the sanctuary and the children will have the children's story in the chapel, but the couples will meet in the BLC. There's a children's Sabbath school room set up for the ladies and another children's Sabbath school room set up for the gentlemen. As we wash one another's feet, humbling ourselves before one another, and then coming back here after we've made things right with our brother and our sister, and then make things right with God. May the Lord bless us.